As day goes by, I start to realize the very reason why God has placed me as a barber. There were five of us. Three of the other prisoners were murderers. The other prisoner was in fact younger than me. He committed a robbery 9 times in a row, and he ended up in prison in his very young age. And especially as I was getting to know these people, especially this young man, when I was looking at him, I just felt so sorry for him. In his young age, he just ruined his life by wrong choices and wrong decisions. And I felt really sorry for him, so whenever I see his need, I would just try to provide for him. If he needed clothing, I would give my clothing to him. If he needed food, I would give my food to him. If he needed anything, I would just try to provide for him and take care of him. And then he started to open up his heart little by little, and he shared his story, why he committed what he did. He said, my mom is a prostitute. I don't have a dad. I never wanted to become like my mother. So he said he studied really hard. And he entered into medicine school to study, to become a doctor. But he didn't have money for the tuition, and neither did his mom. So he finally decided, you know what? The only thing that I can do right now is to rob some stores to get my tuition. And he started to rob one store to the next. The last one, the ninth one, he was caught by the police. He was sent to prison. When I heard that, I felt really sorry for him. I said, but I started to share with him about the true purpose of his life and God's love and his sacrifice that he made for us. But I have to say this. In prison, it's not hard. It's not easy to witness. Because you don't have a lot of freedom there. You don't even have freedom to talk to the person next to you. So before I thought, if I go to prison, I'm going to do a group Bible studies and all that, right? I realized you cannot even talk to the next person freely. Because people get annoyed. Other inmates, if I start to talk to this person too long, the other inmates get annoyed, very sensitive. So they call the guard or they shout at us or things like that. So I cannot even talk to the person next to me freely. But it reminded me of the spirit prophecy quote that I read before. In fifth volume of Testimonies 463, it says, "The work which the church has failed to do in the time of peace and prosperity, she will have to do in a terrible crisis under most discouraging, forbidding circumstances." And I, in a way, foretasted that. In the future, you think, oh yeah, when the Sunday law comes, I'm going to be a mighty witness for God. No, it's going to be even harder. It's not going to get easier. It's getting harder. Even in this country, I can feel it. It's getting harder and harder and harder to witness. While we still have time and peace of prosperity, this is the time that we have to go out and do everything we can to witness, because time is coming very quickly that we will have to do something that we neglected to do right now under the most discouraging and forbidding circumstances. But just because the circumstances are not favorable to us doesn't mean that we cannot witness, right? So I prayed for wisdom, and I found out a little time gap when we were washing dishes together with the water and everything, I could whisper to him. And when we are doing exercise together, outdoor exercise together, I could go near to him. And then as we were doing the push-ups and whatever, I could talk to him a few minutes every day, a few minutes. And little by little, I started to share things about God, about Bible. And to cut the story short, this young man, finally, one day, as I was sharing, he looked at me and said, "I'm a great sinner. How can I be saved?" And I was able to share the love of Christ and everything. And then he said, "You know what? I feel like I've come too far. Do you think God will really accept me?" And I told him, "The very reason God came down to this earth is to save a sinner like you. It's sick people that need a doctor, and it's a sinner that needs a savior." and he came for you. And right there, he accepted Christ as his personal savior. And I will never forget that day. After this, after a few months as a barber, I was placed in another place to be a nurse this time. But I remember the last day, I was packing all my stuff to move to the new workstation. This young man was staring at me in the corner of the room. He was just staring at me without any words. And when I was finished with my packing, he came over to me, right? He just held my hand. He started to just break down. And he was just crying and crying. He just held my hand. He didn't speak a word. He was just looking at me, just crying. And then finally, he said these words, you know, I want to thank you so much for coming to prison and sharing God and his love to me. And this is what he said. You know, one time in my life, I told myself, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to do anything if I can get money. I said, I told myself, I'm going to even sell my soul to the devil if I can become rich. And I ended up in this prison. But here I found God and Christ. And then he said, holding my hand, he said, you know what, Sungwon, I know you have gone through a lot. I know it was very difficult for you. I know I've seen how people have treated you. And I know it was a very tough time of your life, but I want you to know it wasn't vain. And they said, I want you to know that I believe with all my heart God sent you just for me. He said, God sent you to go through all those things just to save me. And, you know, I'll never forget that day. But anyways, I have to cut the story short. Can I share one more story before I end? I became a nurse. And once again, I had no background in nursing. Or I had no clue what to do. And I remember that day, when they called me to become a nurse, I went into this department, health department in prison, and there were 15 plus officers sitting there. This time, I wasn't dealing with the prisoners, but now I was working with the officers. And then the officers told me, well, there was this officer in that office. His name is Officer Kang, same last name as I am. He is trained in the army, but he worked in this office for 20 years. So over the 20 years, everybody has been shifted and changed, but he's been holding his position for 20 years. So he knows pretty much everything about this department. So he gained tremendous power and influence. Even though he's not the head of the department, he acts as though he's the head. And he is kind of a man, a very scary man. Just his look, right? Or his presence is enough to intimidate everybody, even the officers. When he's around, nobody dares to disobey or, you know, go against him, right? And even myself, when I first met him, it just intimidated me. I said, wow. I don't know, something about his presence and the way he carries himself, that commanding authority and the looks in his eyes, very sharp. And seldom smiles, right? Even when he smiles, it's scary. And then he came up to me, he said, so you are Sung-hoon? I said, yes, sir. You know, kind of scary, yes, sir, you know, intimidated him. He said, are you ready to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, whenever you are needed? So I thought about it, yes, sir, and then, except the Saturday, sir. And they said, and then he stopped and said, Saturday? What about the Saturday? I said, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I cannot work on the Saturday, unless it's, you know, relieving the pain of others and, you know, helping others. That's completely fine. You know, if somebody's got hurt and then I can work as a nurse, that's fine. But if you ask me to do like office work on Saturday, I cannot do it on Saturday. And then he looked at me and said, yeah, you have to do office work on Saturday. I said, I cannot do that, sir. And then the whole office got quiet, right? He's like, what did you just say? He said, you said you are not going to do it? He said, yes, sir, I cannot work on the Saturday. And then he said, Do you realize what you're saying right now? If you all refuse my command right now, do you see those officers? They're going to take you right away. And you're going to be put into isolation cell. Now, I wasn't dealing with the prisoners anymore, so I was dealing with the officers directly. And I was kind of afraid. And I started to pray to God, Lord, please help me. Please give me the strength to stand firm and not compromise. But this is the thing. I was nearing the end of my term. And here, if I blow this, I lose the opportunity to get out 3 months earlier. And I'm going to lose everything else. And I'm just praying. But even if that's what's going to happen, I told God, I want to stand up faithful to you. And then he said, you know what's going to happen to you, right? He said, looking at your record, you are about to get out, with your 3 months, parole. But if you're punished right now, you're going to lose that. You know that, right? That's right. I know that, sir. But I want you to know that I cannot work on the Saturday. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm a Christian. And then I thought he was going to, kick me or, hit me or whatever. But no, somehow he changed his tactic. It surprised other people too. Other people were expecting him to hit me or something, but he calmed down and he said, you know what? I respect you. It's hard to see a young man like you. Courageous, brave, standing for the things that you think is right. But something is not making sense to my mind. First, do you know why you are sent to prison? I said, why? I know, because I refuse to carry arms. Then he said, yeah. So in a sense, you are being punished for refusing to go through the military service. Do you know that, right? Yes, sir. They said, and this does not make sense because you are being punished here because you refuse to obey the government. But even while you are being punished, you are still refusing to disobey. Refusing to obey the command of the officers of the government. And this does not make sense. I said, it's not like that. He said, look at this. If Christian standards or principles are something that I can compromise depending on the situation, do you realize that I don't have to stand before you right now? I don't even have to come here in the first place. The very reason I'm standing before you in this prison is because I cannot compromise. Because God's word cannot be compromised no matter where I am. That's the reason why you are seeing me here right as a prisoner. And I want you to know that no matter what happens, I cannot compromise. And then he said, well, is it wrong to do good things on Saturdays? I said, no, it's not. Is it sin to do service for others on Saturdays? No, in fact, that's the very spirit of Sabbath. And then he said, well, then just think that you are doing service for us, because if you come out on Saturday and work in the office, you are doing service for us. And you're not getting paid anyway, so what's wrong with that, Just, pray to God in your mind while you're doing the office work, and then, God will understand, right? Next principle I'm going to share to you, principle number 5, we have to avoid rationalization. We have to avoid rationalization. What's rationalization? It's coming up with good reasons for bad actions. Coming up with good reasons for bad actions or wrong actions. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, Bible says, there's a way seemeth right unto man, but end thereof is what? Death. There are things that seems right when we rationalize, but we know that's wrong. Some people say, everybody's just doing it, and then they say, no one will know, God will understand. And all this rationalization, it's very dangerous. Remember the story of Asa, the man who stopped the ark falling down and died? Now, why did he die? His intention was what? To protect God's ark, right? Unselfish, good motivation, and yet he died. Why? Because God already told them, no matter what, don't touch that ark if you're not a priest. But he had good reasons for wrong actions. The ark is falling down, so maybe I can touch it right now. But he died. We rationalize so often, but we have to avoid rationalization. So I had to tell him, look, Just look at me. If I compromise right now and listen to you, then that defeats the very purpose why I came to this prison. Everything that I have gone through, every reason why I'm here is in vain. And I want you to know that I cannot compromise no matter what, and I will not work on the Saturdays. And I was praying really hard. And somehow, once again, God stepped out and intervened. He didn't punish me. I don't know what changed his heart. He just looked at me and he said, "Just go. Just go to other prison nurses, figure things out." I went to other prison nurses, right? Found out they were Jehovah's Witnesses, young people. Came in with the same reason why I was in. And then I started to explain to them, "Man, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I cannot work on Saturday." And before even I finished my sentence, they stopped me and they said, "Look, if there's anyone that can understand you, it's us. We're going to do everything to help you out. Look, we're going to work things out this way. You can stay in your cell and keep your Sabbath day. We're going to cover your work on Saturdays. Can you do one favor for us? On Sunday, we meet us as a Jehovah's Witnesses. We meet together on Sunday like for 1 or 2 hours. Can you come out and work by yourself on Sunday?" Completely fine. So God worked everything out, and then that's how I was able to keep the Sabbath day. You know, from the very first day to the very last Sabbath, I was able to keep the Sabbath day without being punished. And I got out 3 months earlier. So I got out 2 years ago in the end of June 2008. And one thing, if there's one thing that I have learned over and over again, when we are bold enough to stand up for God, leaving the consequences or what man can do to us in God's hand, and stepping out in faith, God is going to work miracles after miracle for our lives. The reason why, as a Christian, we are so lagging, so in deep sleep, and we don't have the personal connection, living connection with God, is because we are not willing to stand up for God, period. But if we do, you'll start to see amazing things happening in your life. And you're going to experience that personal living connection with God day by day. You know, there's so many stories to share, so many things, and I can just go on all day. But I don't want to wear you out. As I end, I just want to challenge you to make up your mind today and every day and stand up for God, commit yourself for Jesus. If you honor him, he's gonna honor you as well. But once again, the testimony I've shared throughout these 2 weeks is a snapshot of what's coming ahead of us. According to the word of the prophecy, in the very near future, some of us that's sitting here right now, if not all of us, will go through prison experience or even death. But I want you to remember, if that time comes, the principles that I've shared to you. Stand up for God, honor him, and you're going to see great things. And God is going to do great things for you and through you. And many people will be found in the kingdom of God for your faithfulness. May God bless you. And let us turn our hymn to our closing hymn, which is found in hymn chapter 618.